Let's shoot the breeze with Alex Center from the bigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderfully well, thank you. How are things up Sydney way?
Lovely.
E-waste, it's a big thing, Alex, to kickstart Shoot the Breeze this week. The EU has proposed a few changes which hopefully will reduce e-waste. What's happening?
So this is the legislative arm of the European Union. And what they've done is they've asked for new rules. They've made a proposal around this to ensure that manufacturers should make at least 15 components available for at least 5 years after they release a new phone in the EU. It doesn't mean that the phone needs to be manufactured in the EU, but it needs to be released in the EU. So within that time span, basically you should be able to replace parts much easier. You know, a lot of complaints around smartphones is, you know, the display starts playing up or the battery doesn't charge properly or the, you know, the back cover breaks or the glass breaks. So trying to have a more durable phone. But one element that's really important around the European Commission is around battery durability. And the proposal requests that the phone and tablet batteries should be able to endure at least 500 full charges before dropping below 83% of their capacity.
Ah.
So this would also mean that phones would need to have labels detailing information like how long the batteries will last. As well as drop and water resistance ratings.
Apart from when I bought my phone, I've got a 13. So apart from when I bought it, it's never actually had a full charge. I've never let it go flat. Are you supposed to do that still? Once upon a time, you were told, oh, you should let it go flat and charge it from the, you know, empty to full again, because it helps the battery life. I don't know whether that's still a thing or not, but.
A lot of methodologies around this. I mean, my phone dies out regularly. I'm one of those people that leaves it right to 1%.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Just can't.
And it doesn't help my phone, so I don't know how helpful that is.
Yeah. All right. Each their own on that one, but I'll continue to keep mine powered up, not at 1%. Hey, a new study has discovered that we as couples are more likely to fight with about a light being left on or the toilet seat being left up rather than actual serious issues. What's happening? Why are we fighting about a light being left on or a toilet seat being left up?
I mean, usually it's a trigger for other stuff, but this was from a poll of people who looked into what are the things you're most likely to argue over. And it was things like, you know, how much time they spend on their phone, leaving dishes to soak for ages before actually cleaning them, you know, leaving crumbs in the bed. But the top two were actually around leaving lights on and leaving the toilet seat up. So that's what people were more likely to bicker around. Now, it really did, you know, weigh into the whole idea of tit for tat. So people felt like there was an imbalance in how housework was being split or whether one person was making more effort than the other person in the way they lived. And then when you think about things like lights, it indirectly does relate to the financial status because a lot of people are concerned that the lights will, you know, make the energy bills go crazy, electricity bills. So even though they weren't talking about the electricity bill explicitly, it was an offshoot of that. So, you know, it ultimately does come down to couples. I mean, the research showed that the couples really felt like they were unable to, you know, have the other person be thoughtful around what they needed around the house. And that's where it led to bickering and annoyance.
Here's a tip for you. Get solar panels. Then you won't have to worry about fighting whether the lights get turned on or off.
That's definitely one solution. But I tell you something. Mark always gets upset with me because I leave the milk out in the morning.
Oh, no, you can't do that. I'd get upset with you too.
So for some reason, I don't put it away. And then for some reason, he always leaves the cupboard doors open. So we just both have this one little thing that we both do, and neither of us know why we do it.
Does he keep the toilet seat down for you?
Yeah, he's good like that.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and he always leaves little things out for me in the morning, like here's your vitamin C sachet and, you know, little things like that.
Oh, it's so sweet. But the honeymoon will soon be over. Don't worry, Alex.
Thank you. I'll let him know.
Hey, let's wrap up our Shoot the Breeze segment with a chat about currency. Because the Queen has passed, what is going to happen with the Australian currency now? Are we going to see King Charles III on it?
Yeah, so it's been announced that King Charles III will be on Australian coins from 2023. So that will essentially mean that we will have different coins and different notes and everything will look different. It's interesting because we first saw Elizabeth on our coins in 1953. And so we've been used to seeing the Queen, even though in total we've seen progressively aging portraits of the Queen on Australian coins.
Mm.
So, it's quite a big part of our culture and our history. So 2023 is when we will see new coins. It doesn't mean that the coins that are with the Queen will be invalid. Of course, they will still be valid. It would just mean the visual elements are changing to the King.
All righty. Look forward to seeing old Charlie's head on a coin. We can throw that about the place if we want to. Hey, Alex Center from thebigsmoke.com.au, always a pleasure to shoot the breeze. We'll do so again next Tuesday. Catch you then.
Thank you so much.